Holy Spirit in our lives. Well, thank you, Lord, for your presence in us. Thank you, Lord, for your power upon our lives. We give you our praise. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we are praying, we are asking, oh God, that your love through your word will be established in our lives, and your love will be established in our homes. Your power and the hope of eternal life will be established in us in the name of Jesus Christ. Your word says that the entrance of your word gives lives and understanding unto the simple. We pray that as we look into your word, I pray that you bless our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Father, for we know it is done. Bless everyone that will be joining the session of Family Essence, and I pray that the Lord God Almighty will visit us and will enlighten us through his word in Jesus' name. Let the purpose of this gathering be established today, be achieved today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know it is done. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome once again to this session of Family Essence. Once again, this is the Bold Christian Ministry, and the purpose of this ministry is to make sure that the love of Christ, we are rooted in the love of Christ, and the love of Christ is infused into our lives, and with the hope of eternal life, that we are secured in Christ through his word. And by believing on his only son, Jesus Christ, we are assured the hope of eternal life. By accepting Jesus Christ into our lives, we are secured of the hope of eternal life. I pray that as we gather today, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. We're looking at a very important subject today, and this subject, it's actually one of the teachings of Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, when he came to campaign about the kingdom of God, to ensure that we secure the right standing with God, which is the main reason for coming into the world to die for our sins, to make sure that we are reunited with God again. We will be looking at a topic before us. It's called Foundations. And the text we will be looking at is in the book, from the book of Luke chapter 6, in verse 46 to 49. Luke chapter 6. In verse 46 to 49, I am going to read this passage to establish the basis of this study today. And I pray that as we go along, the Lord God Almighty will open our eyes of so we'll be able to understand what he has for us today. The book of Luke, chapter 6, in verse 46 to 49. Luke chapter 6, in verse 46 to 49. It says there, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, if you look at the context of what we are looking at today, is based on foundation. And what the Holy Spirit wants us to understand today is to make sure that we secure the right foundation, which has a way of plunging us into everlasting life. Now, if you would ask yourself today, what kind of foundation do you have? Is it a foundation in Christ or a foundation outside of Christ? If you're opportunity to speak to a structural engineer, or you have actually visit a site, a construction site, maybe for a house or for, you know, an office or any construction site at all, you will discover that before a building is erected, there must be a foundation. And in this foundation, there is, of course, is being done in phases. There is a digging, there is, a kind of location to make sure that the location is not a flood zone. It's not prone to flooding and all that. So there are a lot of things that would be investigated before the purchase of the land, before the digging, before, you know, you start putting things in place, before you start, you know, mixing concrete, before you start pouring things and, you know, and all that. So there is a foundation that needs to be laid. If that foundation is not laid properly, the tendency of that same building collapsing is guaranteed. Now, you will as well discover that when the foundation is laid, there are people, you know, we've actually seen things on social media, even on YouTube, where, you know, different those that, you know, build houses and, you know, and all that, they build it in locations that are prone to flood, even though when the houses were built, they had to, you know, ensure that they push the water a little farther inside, and, you know, so they can build a house because they like the view, and maybe the person is actually a multimillionaire and then wants to wake up early in the morning to see, you know, the view of the ocean and all that. That is good in its context, but what the person has is limited in control. You can't control in the next 5 years how the ocean would rise in terms of its, you know, in terms of its nature, you know. And that's the reason why a lot of houses have been flooded and all that. So, and some people buy houses in flooded location. So even though it doesn't matter the concrete, it doesn't matter the level of, you know, where, but as long as that house is built in a location that is not rooted in terms of foundation. Today we are looking at foundation, and it's important for us to start asking ourselves, what kind of foundation do we have, or have we laid, or are we intending to lay for ourselves or for our family? Is it a foundation that is built on a rock in righteousness, or the one that is built on the sand in unrighteousness? The concept of Jesus Christ teaching here in terms of foundation, in terms of the building being erected, no matter how beautiful the building is, what kind of foundation does it have? That is the question. What kind of foundation does the building have? Is it a foundation that is rooted in righteousness or unrighteousness? Now, you will as well discover that when Christ was in verse 48, he said, "He's like a man that has built an house and dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock and dig deep." Digging deep has to do with what you your what you expose yourself to, or what you have decided to, what you have decided to pursue in your Christian, in your walk with God. Now, so many people will claim, oh, I'm saved by the grace of God. They can even tell you the year that they are saved. Maybe I was saved in 1983 and June 3rd, 1983, or April 2nd, or December the 1st, 1988, or 1972. You know, you can remember the years, but is that salvation still intact? Because the salvation being given to us is not just, it's a gift that is given to us through Jesus Christ to make sure that we have the hope of eternal life. But if that foundation, if that salvation doesn't have any other thing attached to it in terms of your walk of faith, in terms of your walk of righteousness, you see someone who says, I'm saved, and then the person is still sinning, and the person is still claiming that he's saved, or the person is still lying. The person is still, it's possible for you to once be saved, but that walk of righteousness, you are not rooted yet. You did not proceed to seeking sanctification, the Holy Spirit baptizing. You did not, you know, in terms of prayer, you're not rooted in terms of prayer. You're not rooted in the scriptures. You are not, you know, you, there is a walk, there is a continuous walk. It's not just salvation. It's not just living a moral life, or I don't sin, or I don't fight, I don't steal, I don't. Those are things that free thinkers talk about. Free thinkers are those who believe that they can just live a moral life. They don't fight, they don't abuse, they don't steal, they don't take drugs, they don't humanize, they don't do things that are bad, right? But they have not committed their life to Christ. So that's what the subject of today is all about, foundation. So if you ask yourself, you know, the righteous life, it's a pursuit of the revelation of Christ and his kingdom. That's what the righteous life is all about. It's about the pursuit of the revelations. When you are saved, you are not just saved. There's something that is being given to you, and Christ would want to, you know, use that same thing to ensure that your walk with God doesn't just remain stagnant. You pursue the revelations of God. You pursue, there are things God wants to do with you. There are some things God wants to achieve through you. Maybe where you walk, or what you do, or as a medium of your, in the line of your career, or were in your home, or there are things that Christ wants to do in you. And that's the reason why when you look at the book of Jude chapter 1 in verse 3, we are still talking about the house that is built on the solid rock. In the book of Jude, chapter 1, in verse 3. Jude is before Revelation. The book of Jude, chapter 1, in verse 3. It says there, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered unto the saints. So everybody can say, I'm born again. But are you earnestly contending for the faith? Are you pursuing the works of righteousness? So there is an expectation that heaven demands and requires of everyone that claim to have a root in Christ Jesus, that have a solid foundation. And it's important for us to understand that the message of salvation is spread abroad, right? But is that salvation still intact? when you check up your life, when you check up how, you know, your walk with God, is that salvation, what you claim to be salvation, is this still the salvation that you received at first? Is this still the same? And that's the charge today, you know, to us, to ensure that we pursue the revelations of Christ and His kingdom. There are some things you would not know until you start pursuing the revelations of Christ in terms of prayer. Someone say, I'm born again. And here you are, the Holy Spirit wakes you up around 3 a.m. and you say, I'm tired. I know it's the Holy Spirit, but I'm tired. Go and check that salvation that you claim to have. And check to see if you secure the right standing with God. There are a lot of paths that, you know, we might claim that we are rooted in Christ, but then is the walk of righteousness found in and still in our lives? Are we still fighting? Are we still stealing? Are we still fornicating? Are we still lying? Are we still telling, you know, backbiting and gossipings and all that? The works of the flesh, is it still in us? If it's still in you, it shows that that salvation, you need to go and revisit Calvary and you need to pursue the next thing, which is sanctification, the Holy Spirit baptism, digging deep into God's word, into His revelation, you know, walking the walks of righteousness. That's the only way, that's the only way you can secure your standing on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you are on a sinking sand. So that's the charge to us today. That's the charge to us today. Let's look at the book of Romans chapter 5 in verse 19. Romans 5 in verse 19. Romans chapter 5 in verse 19. The book of Romans chapter 5 in verse 19. The Bible says there, for as by Romans 5 in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So it is important for us to know that our works of righteousness must hang on Jesus Christ at every point in time. No matter where we see ourselves, no matter where we find ourselves, we must pursue the revelations of Jesus Christ. When you look at, you know, Christ, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, and His parables, when it talks about, okay, the sower that sow a seed, some fell on the road, some fell on stony places, some fell on good ground, some, you know, and he started making those analogies, you would discover that this same parable meant that there are people who received the word. They might have even been saved, but that word has no, it has no power in it. It has no potency in achieving. It's not mixed with faith in their hearts. You can claim to be saved. You can even confess in a crusade that Jesus Christ is Lord and all. If you don't continue the work of righteousness, you will leave that sort. You would have shifted from having a foundation that is rooted in Christ to moving to a salvation that is on a sinking sand, because that one has no sustenance in it. In the book of Matthew, where the same scripture talks about building a house on a solid rock and building a house on a sand, you will see that the Bible talks about the wise and the foolish. The wise man built his house on a solid rock, but the foolish built his house on a sand.
And then it talks about the ignorance, because it's possible for you to be in the Christian faith and still be ignorant of some revelations of Christ. Some things you're supposed to be doing. You know, and it's important that we don't just receive salvation just for the sake of this is salvation. Okay, I believe I'm saved. I believe I'm renewed. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ has washed me, has cleansed me from my sins and my iniquities and my unrighteousness and all that. Those confessions are good. But you need to understand there is someone that is still running after your soul to snatch it away from that which you have gotten. As you have given your life to Christ, so also the devil is not happy. He's still looking for a way to entice you, to smuggle some things into your sleep, into your dream at night, to cast spells. So if you are not rooted, in no time, that salvation that you claim to have gotten, it would have slipped away. There was a story of a man who, you know, who used to pray, used to fast, used to walk the works of righteousness and all that. But along the line, he forgot to understand that the walk with God is a continuous walk.
Go close!
It's a continuous walk. And that was what he forgot. And you will discover that... You will discover that the walk with God is a walk of righteousness. So this man, the same person, actually, at the end of the day, he started giving himself to lasciviousness. In fact, matter of fact, this is the same person that when he prays, he will say revival should come, God should kill him if revival does not come and all that. And you will discover that God is not so moved by what we say. He's not so moved by it's a daily walk. You have to make sure that every day you carry your cross and you follow after him. That is what he wants. Every day, you pick up your cross daily and you follow Christ. And someone will say, but I've given my life to Christ and, you know, I still find myself, you know, there are still some things that I see with my eyes that I don't like, you know, where I'm living, there's a lot of, people drinking, smoking around my area and, you know, these things are tempting and all that. God will not kill those people that are smoking. For your information, God will not destroy the person that is wearing skimpy skirt or a bum shot in your area just because you have received salvation. No. The reason why God is not going to do that is because he wants to see your commitment daily, picking up your cross daily and following after him. God is not going to, because there is a fine woman or there is a fine lady at your office or there is one handsome guy that every time is always looking glistering and very attractive. In fact, more handsome than any man I've ever seen in my life and all that. God will not kill that person because of your own salvation. No, it is a continuous walk. He wants to see you pick up your cross daily and follow him. That's the reason why there is a passage of scripture that says, great is the misery of godliness. In one of Paul the Apostle's teaching to one of the church, the Corinthians church or the Romans church. You know, you have to resolve in your mind that your walk with God is not going to be affected by anything around you. That's the only way you can secure a solid rock in Christ. Solid rock in Christ. I pray that God will help us to continue to walk the works of righteousness in Him in Jesus' name. An educated person, you know, I know most of us that are listening to the sound of my voice, we are educated. An educated person knows that you don't just, a child doesn't just grow up to entering into a high school. No. There is always an elementary level, there's always a secondary level, there's always a tertiary level, there's always, you know, you begin from kindergarten. From kindergarten, you grow up to preschool. From preschool, you grow up to, you know, senior kindergarten, you grow up to high school, you move on to university and all, and you begin to, you know, do refresher courses and all that, you know, and there is always a continuum. You have to continue. Salvation is good, but as good as it is, you need to move on. And that's the reason why Paul the Apostle said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. There is a formation. That you have salvation doesn't mean you have cemented everything around you. No, that's not salvation. Only gives you is a gift, is given to you so that you can start walking the works of righteousness. Many of us that have careers, maybe you're working in an hospital, maybe you work in a, you know, public office and all that. You discover that when you secured that employment, maybe you secure it as a floor staff, as an agent or something like that. That the agency will post a vacancy. And then you will discover that maybe you've done this for some years, maybe 5 years, and you feel, well, I think it's time to move up the ladder. And then they begin to ask you questions during the interview. Okay, what do you know about your current position? You need to have a full knowledge of your position before you move on to the next cadre. And the next cadre gives you some access to some top level managers, managers, internal, some more internal things. The one you are doing as a floor agent is cannot be compared to the access you will have when you become a manager or when you become a senior person in that same position. There are some other internal circle things that you will know. And that's the same thing with the kingdom. That you receive salvation doesn't equate to giving you some things that the Holy Spirit would ordinarily want to reveal to you. You need to continue. You need to continue. You need to continue. You need to seek and pursue after the revelations of Christ. Okay, how does the kingdom operate? What are the things? And you can only learn that through the scripture and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, just like when you go to a crusade, you see the man of God prays and blind eyes open. And that gift is not, God doesn't just give people's gift. No, you have to thirst for it. Just like sanctification, you thirst for it, you get it. Just like Holy Ghost baptism, you thirst for it. That's the only way you can have a solid ground. You can be rooted in the things of God. Without that, there is a tendency of the enemy coming and snatching away that salvation that you claim to have received. And perhaps you are listening to the sound of my voice today and you have lost your salvation after assessing your life, after the Holy Spirit has convinced you that you've lost your place in Christ. There is still in the power of redemption through Christ that can save you today, that can put you back to where whence you've fallen. That power of salvation, that gift of salvation still exists today. Let's look at the book of 2 Timothy and let's see the letters of Paul to Timothy, his son. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 19. It says there, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So there's an iniquity, there is something called iniquity, unrighteousness, sin. If you are claiming that you have received the free gift of Christ, which is salvation, depart from iniquity, depart from sin, depart from lasciviousness, depart from, smoking, drinking, womanizing, lying, stealing, fighting, abusing, gossiping. Those are iniquities. Those things have a way of the enemy taking advantage of your ignorance. Because your ignorance that those things can affect your Christian walk, your walk with God, the devil takes advantage and smuggles those things into your life because you are not conscious of that precious salvation of your walk with God. So let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, that is a representative of, you become a representative of Jesus Christ if you claim that Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior and you have the gift of salvation in you, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you claim that your salvation or you've secured the right standing with God and the power, you are rooted, your foundation is rooted in Christ in God and is rooted on a solid rock, depart from iniquity. The rock there means righteousness. The sand therefore means unrighteousness. So it will be foolish of someone who claim to be walking in righteousness, who has the rock, who is standing on the rock that is Jesus, to now decide to pursue after unrighteousness. That person in no time will go down if the works of the flesh are still in that particular individual. So in verse 20 it says here, but in a great house, in a great house. So meaning that there is, it's not just about laying foundation. You can lay your foundation on a solid rock. You can, cement everything. You can make sure and all that. But that foundation should not just be there. You discover that when people build house, when people want to build house, they lay the foundation, they build the house, they start thinking of the aesthetics in the house, things to buy, how to, build a nice garage, how to, put some things in the house, how to buy the nice furniture, there are all kinds of things. Even after some years, some people will still throw their TV away, buy a new TV. It just shows that it's a matter of continuity. Some people, they will pull down their fence, put another fence, kind of fence, they will just to make the house beautiful. That's the same way with the kingdom of God. That you have salvation doesn't mean there shouldn't be other layers of things that would make you to be rooted and rooted in Christ. So in verse 20 it says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. So for you to claim that your salvation is intact, do you still have the works of the flesh in you? Do you still lie? Do you still sit still? If you are still doing the works of the flesh, if the works of the flesh is still found in you, you are no longer on that rock. That rock has been replaced by sand. That righteousness that you claim to have is no longer righteousness. One of the questions I do ask myself is that, God, just have mercy on me. Because, you know, if care is not taken, you will think you are still securing the right standing with God. Those that have experienced, that have seen things that God has revealed rapture to, will tell you that, oh, I did not make it. When I saw the dream of rapture, the revelations of rapture, when God just opened my eyes to see it, I did not make it. And when you check the life of these people, they will tell you some of those things that is needed to make heaven. They will give you a clue of what is needed, which is rooted in righteousness. So, in most experience of those, you know, because I've listened to people who will say they found themselves in hellfire and all that. Those revelations are true. Those revelations are true, because you find that nobody will just come and say, "I had a dream of rapture. I made heaven," and the person is still womanizing, still fornicating. That it's not that you are not likely to see such a person come and say, even with my work of unrighteousness, I made heaven." You can't see that kind of person say that. No, it's always that I did not make it because of so the things of the flesh found in me. That's the things that you will see people confess. So as time goes on, you know, let's just begin to, you know, look within ourselves. What are those things that is not making us to stand on the rock? What are the things, the besetting sins that is not making us to walk the walks of righteousness? Those are the things that God wants us to abandon today. Because as long as the works of the flesh are still in us, we become foolish, we become ignorant of the things that we know and the things that are good, that are rooted in the kingdom of God, that we can emulate, that we can embrace, that we can enjoy. God, in his intention, wants us to walk in righteousness with him. But sin would always want to have an occasion in the life of a man, because the enemy has so many enmities everywhere, so many ambassadors everywhere, in your career, at your workplace, anywhere you find yourself, there are always emissaries and ambassadors of devil everywhere. You know, you go to the mall, there are people who sell some things that are, if you are not careful, you would have slipped into, maybe you even have salvation. The salvation that you have, if you are not careful, it will be replaced by sin. That salvation that you claim to have, if you are not careful, it will be replaced by sin. You might say, oh, well, I'm not covetous, I'm not proud. When you receive salvation, your quality assurance is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must be subject to the Holy Spirit, because it's the only personality that can bridle you. Even though when you walk into a store and you have the money to buy that thing, but you are restricted. You are restricted by the Holy Ghost. He will tell you, no, I know you have the money, but on this one, the answer is no. And when you begin to ask, the Holy Spirit will tell you the reason why he doesn't want you to have that thing. Anybody that is not, that does not have the Holy Spirit working with them, that kind of believer, though he's standing on it on the rock, will soon be walking on the sand. Because the Holy Spirit is the spiritual capital that we have to secure the right standing with God. There are some things the Holy Spirit will tell you to do. Maybe when you are sleeping, the Holy Spirit will say, okay, pray today. There's a reason why he's telling you to pray. Or maybe he's saying, wake up around between 1 and 2. And you're asking yourself, why am I? Your eyes will be, it will be as if it's afternoon that you are. And it's telling you that pray now, because the days are evil. There are temptations everywhere. For you to walk right with God, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit. And that's why you don't just remain in salvation. You move up the ladder. Just like you move up the ladder in your office. You don't just want to be a floor agent. You want to move up. You want to see, you want to have the revelations. You want to see what is in the bowels of God. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. You need to test after righteousness. You need to pursue the revelation of Christ and his kingdom. There are things that are hidden in God's kingdom that if you remain in salvation and say, I'm saved, I just want my salvation, I don't want any other, let me just remain. In no time, that salvation will be lost. In no time. Because the devil is getting very more innovative. Is that you can't, you are no match for the devil. You are no match for the flesh. The flesh, though you claim you have salvation, but you as a personality, you don't have control over the flesh. So you need a revelation. You need revelations to be able to overcome the power of the flesh. You see somebody who just walk out of church and just raise up his hand and then they prayed, he's received salvation. Go and read that passage of the parable of the sower. Go and read that passage. There are depths in that passage. There are people who claim that they are saved, but when affliction comes, when persecution comes, they are easily offended, and then they say, this salvation, please just let us put it aside, let's focus on what that you have no power, you have no ability to control your flesh. And that's the reason why Christ does not just want us to be saved, he wants us to pursue after his revelations. I pray that as we do so, the Lord God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. So let's read the book of 2 Corinthians before we pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 11. Second Corinthians 3 in verse 11. Okay, I think I missed my passage there. I was looking at the passage that Paul the Apostle was writing to the Corinthians just, and they said, or no other foundation that any man can lay but that which is laid of Christ. That which is laid of Christ. There is no other foundation. No other foundation. So the only foundation that has to do with a rock, building a house on a rock, is Christ. Any other foundation is a false foundation. So if you are living your life without Christ, you already have a fault. You don't even have a foundation. You don't have a foundation. And it's easier for the devil to play tricks on you to mess with your life. And I pray that God Almighty will give us his free gift today, that as many that are thirsty after righteousness, that wants to receive the free gift of God. Let's close our eyes as we pray. If you are here today and you have not yet received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to close your eyes today, because the subject of today is a reminder that God is interested in our lives. It's a reminder that, you know, we need to secure the hope of eternal life in us. So let's close our eyes and ask God that, God, please help me. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to give the totality of my life to you. Save me, deliver me from sin. And I pray that as you're making those confessions today, the Lord God Almighty hears you and he reaches through your heart and he will grant you the free gift of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We thank you for your word that has come to us today. Foundations. Lord, we want to start afresh with you. I pray that as many that are given their life, the totality of their lives to you, and they are surrendering their life to you, and they are confessing their sins to you, I pray, oh God, that you will give them the free gift of salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you will show your mercy upon them, cleanse them from all their sins and iniquities, and write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. Give them the grace and the power to sin no more in Jesus' name. Help them, O God, to walk the works of righteousness in you in Jesus' name. Give them the hope of eternal life today. Thank you, Father, for I know it is done. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for